God, we just want to thank you so much that you love us and care about us. Thanks for helping us through the weekend. Thanks for helping us through the week. God, as fall is coming and Thanksgiving is on its way and Christmas break and all those things to look forward to, God, we ask for your help. Would you help us even tonight as we learn about this plan that you had from the very beginning? And it seems a little nuts. It seems a little crazy, the plan that you've come up with. But it is also an amazing plan and a plan that has huge impact on our lives that we can connect with you. God, would you teach us tonight about your plans for us being restored, really? And we want to thank you that you care about us. Would you help us through the week? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I asked you the question, can you think of an epic battle? And I want to know, who were the two sides and how did it go? What was it about? Star Wars, the Rebels and the Empire. Nice. Mother Gothel, I don't know who that is, and Rapunzel. Entangled. Okay. The evil witch. Okay. World War II. Okay. Do you guys remember some of the warring countries in that war? Germany? USA? Britain? Okay. Other epic battles. Batman and the Joker. Forever enemies. Harry Potter and Voldemort. The Battle of Yorktown. Okay. The Trix Bunny and the kids. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids, right? Yeah. Okay. That's hilarious. I was not on my radar. Max, what do you got? The Battle of New York City was in a book that you read. Okay. The Battle of Helm's Deep. Little Lord of the Rings. Yeah. That was an epic battle. How about the Battle of the Five Armies, if you like The Hobbit? The Leprechaun. And you're stuck on cereal. Are you talking about Lucky Charms? The Lucky Charms guy versus the kids. Trying to eat all of his marshmallows. Yeah? How about school rivalries? Are there any big school rivalries, epic rivalries? Darby and Bradley? Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus any other cereal? Versus themselves. Really? I don't remember that battle. The Tootsie Roll Owl versus the Lollipop. Wow, you guys are digging really, really random and deep. Well, tonight we're going to talk about an epic battle that is real. Good versus evil, the two warring people being Jesus and the devil, okay? We're going to get to that in a little bit, but epic battle going on in our universe even now, that there's a spiritual war that is invisible sometimes, or most of the time we don't see it, but sometimes we feel it. That internal tension you might have, whether to choose yourself to do good or to do bad, right? Kind of the dark side versus the light side, but in real life kind of stuff, not just Star Wars. All right, so we're going to jump into God's crazy plan, and we're going to talk about this series from today, creation. We're going to talk about back in Genesis, and then we're going to spend the next 6 weeks, we're going to go all the way up to Christmas in December, okay? Yes, Christmas is fun, right? I enjoy Christmas. So we're going to go from Adam to the birth of Jesus. We're going to cover pretty much the whole Old Testament in a matter of a couple weeks and just kind of hit some high points and some high profile characters in that story. So today we're going to take a look at Adam and Eve and the fall and the curse and the promise that God gives. And then next time we'll look at Noah and Abraham and Moses. And then we'll spend a little time on David because that's where the family line of Jesus comes from. And then we'll take a look at the prophecies, all the things that were foretelling the future of Jesus coming, and then we'll look at Christmas, Jesus' birth, all right? I don't know if you guys are in science class right now or not, or studying evolution or not. If you are a student of evolution, you would say the Earth is how old? Like millions and millions or even billions of years old, right? And they need that much time. They need huge chunks of time in order for those small evolutionary changes to happen, right? If you look at a lot of Bible scholars and Bible literature and you study the Bible and you try to look at timelines from a biblical perspective, a lot of scholars will land that the earth is more like around 10,000 years old and not as old as they're saying in your science classes, okay? So working with a younger earth, and we work backwards from the timeline that we're given in the Bible, a lot of the timelines and scholars that I looked at put Adam and Eve around 4,000 BC. And what is it now? It's 2017. So what is that, like 6,000 years ago? Okay. So let's give it a little buffer because I wasn't there and you weren't there. And we're just kind of trying to extrapolate the data. Let's say between 6 and 10,000 years ago. Okay. We'll give ourselves a little buffer. That Adam and Eve, check this out, you guys. were not a fairy tale. There was a real man and a real woman that were the first people on the earth that God really did make, and that the Garden of Eden was real, and that the earth was made good, and they were made good. So we're going to take a look at that story, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper in the next 20 minutes, okay? So I had Tony give you guys Bibles, because we're going to look at it together. I want you to see it for yourself. So go ahead and turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 27. Very first book of the Bible, probably the first or second page of the Bible, okay? Chapter 1, verses starting in verse 27. Okay, this is the account of creation and God making man and woman. So it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, and male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. In verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit of seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. I think you guys know a lot about the days of creation. All right, so God makes man and woman, okay? Basically, the mom and dad of all the people that would come, right? And so at the beginning, it's good, right? God says that that they are good. So God's creation is good. Man and woman are good. They have good hearts. They have good natures. And they enjoy a special relationship with God that, as far as I know, nobody else on the planet has got to enjoy walking and talking and being with God in the garden, okay? Wouldn't it be cool if you could just go hang out with God, see him and touch him and feel him and talk to him and ask him questions and hang out and be in his presence? That's pretty awesome, right? And that's how it was at the beginning for these guys, right? And he put Adam and Eve in charge, okay, of the animals and the plants and of the creation, and told them to go and rule it and subdue it and be fruitful and multiply and populate the earth, right? So you guys know that shortly after that, things go badly. Do you guys remember what happens next? Does it stay good for very long? It doesn't stay good for very long. We introduce a new character. You're right. The serpent is going to come. But for the moment, I want you to see that that the Garden of Eden was a real place. And I want to read to you a little bit from Genesis 2, 7 through 17. I'm not sure if you've read about what the Garden of Eden was like, but let me read it to you here. It says, the Lord God formed the man and the woman from the dust of the ground, and from the breath of his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Okay, this is in verse 8. It says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, you guys got this? Kind of like an orchard, right? You've got this kind of tropical place. You've got plants and you've got trees. And in the middle of it, you've got two special trees. What are the two special trees in the middle? The tree of life and the tree of what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? It says in verse 10, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. You guys, we're going to read about these headwaters, and two of them you're going to know. Okay, two of them you're going to remember, hopefully from like geography class or social studies. It says the name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. That's kind of cool. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. And the name of the third river, which hopefully you know, you recognize, is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Okay, you guys know those two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates, right? So the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Okay, cool garden, right? Tropical area. Waters from four different rivers colliding together. And if you look at our little map, okay, you've got, here's the Mediterranean Sea. You've got Turkey. Here's Israel. You've got the Persian Gulf over here, Babylon, Assyria. And I don't know if you guys remember the story of Noah. There's Nineveh. And then look, you've got the Tigris here and the Euphrates here. And they come and meet down here. And in this general area is possibly the location of where the Garden of Eden was. I want you to get this. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. That's a real map. Those are real rivers. Okay? But let me ask you this. Is this area in like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and that area, is that a tropical, lush place now? No, what's wrong with it? It's like all desert, right? It's all dried up and hard to live there, right? What global event happened that you think would destroy the Garden of Eden? Sin for sure, but global event, Matt, happened to the whole world. The flood. Yeah, so if the whole earth is flooded, including the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says the flood was up to the tallest mountains, okay? That means it's underwater for like 40 days and 40 nights underwater. It's killing all the vegetation, right? And so now our planet looks and feels and is very different geographically, right? So I wanted you guys to see where that possible location of the Garden of Eden would be. Cool. All right. So, and God has given them some instructions about how to live and a big instruction of what not to do. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You guys know that part of the story. All right. So they're tempted, right? So Leah said we introduce a new character. So let's pick it up in chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Could I have somebody read for us? Who would like to read chapter 3, 1 to 7?
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. I have the weird version. And he said unto the woman, ye hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
All right. Thank you for that old school version, Thomas. Were you guys able to follow along okay? That's okay. All right. So we know that they're tempted, right? And Eve gives in. Adam's with her. He joins her. And together, they break God's law. They break God's command. What do you guys think you would have done? That's going to be one of your life group questions later. If you were in their place, what do you think you may have done? Would you have broken God's rule that way, or would you have been able to resist? Well, sadly, they are the representatives of the human race, and so they make the choice that you and I end up having to live with, and has some pretty heavy consequences. So we're going to take a look. All of a sudden now, things were good. All of a sudden now, sin enters the world. The serpent is there, and now temptation has been given into, and now God is frustrated with mankind, and he's going to hand out some punishment. So this whole section we're going to look at is the curse. We're going to look at four different ways that things got cursed. And the curse, if you know the story, it starts with Eve, and then she blames the serpent, and then Adam blames his wife, and they all kind of point fingers, and in the end, they're all going to be guilty. And so God's going to hand out some punishment. So we'll start with the serpent's curse first in Genesis 3:8. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. You guys, check this out. I believe this is the first time that Adam and Eve were ever afraid of God. Okay? Now they've done something wrong, and now they're embarrassed and ashamed, right? And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me. Look at him. He's blaming her. She gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, okay, so now we're going down the line, and the serpent's going to get it. So here we go. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Okay, some really interesting words, and we're going to kind of dissect that for a minute. But you guys, I think the serpent was a beautiful creature and had like high esteem in this animal kingdom world, right? And somehow, I'm not sure how it works, the serpent was able to talk to Eve. So I'm putting things together. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like, were there like talking animals like back then? Because that's kind of cool, right? I'm not sure. I'm just kind of like reading the text. And all right, so we got the serpent tempts Eve. And now he's demoted, right? So I don't know if he had legs and now he doesn't, or if he had some other kind of status and now he's lost it. But now he's going to crawl, if he wasn't crawling before. And now he's going to eat dust. So when I think of a serpent, I think of like a snake. I don't know about you. What do you think of when you think of a serpent? Like a dragon or a... Okay. Well, something crawling and wiggling on the ground, okay? And maybe it was this mighty, majestic animal, and now it's going to be, you know, eating dirt all the time. And there's this interesting thing. This word enmity is like hatred, okay? So now there's going to be this hatred between the serpent and the serpent's offspring and who? Between woman, the Eve, between Eve's offspring and the serpent, right? So check this out. It's kind of like a war just began. All of a sudden now, they're at odds. Now they are enemies. All the offspring that the woman will ever have, okay? If Eve is the mother of all people, okay? That means entire humanity is now enemies at odds with the offspring and of the serpent and the serpent's followers, okay? Which we know is the devil, right? And the demons. So, crazy story. All of a sudden now, in part chapter 3 of the beginning of the Bible, we learn there's this giant battle going on. Remember we talked about an epic battle? This is it. But you might not have known that you were born into a battle that was already going on. And we're going to learn more about what side you're actually on and what's really happening in our hearts with all that. All right, so that's the serpent. Something interesting in verse 15, he's also promised a future head crushing. That's interesting. Somebody read verse 15 for us again.
"And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." All
right, you guys, check this out. This curse is really interesting because it's also a promise. Check this out. Listen. A future offspring of Eve is going to crush the serpent's head. That's kind of cool. What happens if your head gets crushed? Perhaps death or seriously wounded, okay? Major, major injury, right? Now, it also says that the serpent's going to do something to her offspring. What? Strike her heel, okay? Injure your Achilles heel. It's kind of like your weakness, right? And be injured in some form. But is that fatal? It's not going to be fatal. You guys, check this out. In that verse, we have God's crazy plan. The head crusher, we know, is going to be Jesus. Okay? And the heel bruiser, we know, is the devil. So we have like these two like WWF guys, right? We're going, we've got the head crusher and the heel bruiser on Sunday night. Are you with me? Like big, big UFC fight. I joke about it because I don't really often picture Jesus as this ripped head crusher, I'm going to kick your butt kind of guy. But there is a part of God that is going to come and deliver that, right? And that's pretty sweet. Here's the crazy thing about this plan. A lot of people miss it. You read the creation story and you miss it. But in verse 15, the very beginning of the Bible, it's foretelling that Jesus is coming. God had a plan right from the start. Right from the start that God had a plan that he was going to make a way for us to be restored again. All right, so we're going to go on. Who gets cursed next? Eve gets cursed. Here's what's really interesting about her story. Did she physically die? That was the promise, that if she ate from the tree that she would die. Did she physically die?
Nope, Eve lived.
What's the death about? The spiritual death, right. Her eyes are open and now she sees, and now she has sin in her heart. It's sin in her life and she's disobeyed and she is now going to be cut off from God physically. So we're going to read about that in her curse. So she dies spiritually, and then she has this change in nature, okay? She's no longer good at the core, okay? She was given free will. She chose to disobey, and now sin enters her life and ultimately is passed on to the rest of the planet. Did you guys know that? That we are all now born in sin and born cut off from God. And that's crazy. That stinks, really. All right, so let's read about her curse. In chapter 3, verse 16, her curse is only one verse, but it's not a good one. All right, to the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to your children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. All right, so perhaps it didn't hurt to have kids originally. Bummer for all the women now, okay? And you know what? God's curse on woman is very, very personal, okay, and painful. And we've got doctors and medicines and all that stuff now, but here's the deal. For the rest of time, women are going to wrestle and struggle and have pain in childbearing. And there's an interesting authority thing that happens. A woman is going to want to be independent and want to be free and want to be able to make the decision and want to be in charge. And yet her husband is going to rule over her. And that is going to be the order of things for marriage. And that is going to be a struggle for her to be under a man's authority. That's tough. A lot of us like to be independent, right? And God's like, look, this is a curse that you're going to have to live with. This is how it's going to work. Not a fun one, right? And not one that's going to go away. And then ultimately, you're going to find out later that she is banished and kicked out of the Garden of Eden. All right, let's move on to Adam. Adam's just a bit longer. We're going to look at chapter 3, verse 17. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and to dust you will return. All right, that's crazy. You guys, I'm not a farmer, and I take for granted that I can go to Kroger and just buy some corn off of the produce section, right? I don't even think about the guy who planted it and what it took to grow it, or the weeds that grew up around it, or the fertilizer he needed, or the water, or the sunshine, or whatever that it took to get the produce, you know, the potatoes and tomatoes and lettuce that we get. I take that for granted. But I know that just in my own front yard, just mowing and gardening the flowers in our flower bed, like, weeds grow all the time. Like, dandelions are like crazy. And, like, we get thistles and thorns all over the place. The working the ground is difficult. Could it have been that before, it just produced fruit on its own? The earth just grew and produced fruit, and there was food all around. And now it's going to be hard. Now you're going to have to work for it. And I don't think it's just about farming. I think man, forever now, has to labor at a job, to labor for an income, to labor to provide for his family. And if you took a poll of all the guys that are working, at first, it's fun to work and make money. And then later, it becomes a burden. It's difficult and challenging. So now, this responsibility on him, the ground is cursed. And that curse just doesn't affect the man. It affects anybody who's trying to get anything from the earth, right? If a woman's trying to plant a garden, or a woman's trying to, you know, the curse is going to end up affecting everybody. And the earth is not the same. So painful, hard work. And then he gets kicked out and banished. Let's read about that. All right, this is chapter 3, toward the end. We'll pick it up in verse 21. It says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Because what would happen if you ate and lived forever in the state that man, that Adam and Eve were in? They would forever be cut off from God. There would be no way for them to be restored to God if they then ate from the tree of life. So what does God do? For their own protection? So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out. I mean, how hard would that have been? God just made the world. God just made everything and all the animals and everything. And now he has to drive his own creation out of his paradise. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim, which is this awesome, like, spiritual creature with wings and power, and then a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. That sounds amazing. Flaming sword flashing back and forth. I'm pretty sure if you touch that thing, you die. Like, protecting, like, you know, Adam and Eve aren't going to sneak in later that night and be like, oh, we're going to go get to the tree of life. No, it's going to be like death, okay? And I don't think this is symbolic. I think this was really happening, and that there really was a flaming sword and a cherubim, a spiritual creature that God put it to protect it. And for the rest of time, nobody would ever have that relationship with God again on earth. Okay? So now we have this question. Why does Jesus need to come? That's what we're trying to answer. Why does Jesus need to come? Talk to me. What do you think? Okay, so now we've been separated. Physically, they were kicked out, but spiritually, they're separated. And Jesus, this head crusher, has to come and crush some heads, right? So that we can be restored, right? So now, all of a sudden, Jesus dying on the cross starts to make a little bit more sense. I mean, if we skip ahead, that the only way that we could be restored to God was through this crazy plan that he has where he's going to allow his son to take your place. So, we've talked about the serpent, we talked about Eve, we talked about Adam. Now let's talk about, Wonder Woman. All right, you ready for a movie clip? Sure you are. There is an awesome clip. Let me set it up for you. Wonder Woman is, her real name is Diana. She is a princess of the Amazon women. And she was living on a protected island, okay? Not aware of what's going on in the world, not aware of what's happening. And in this timeline in the movie, it's World War I. And she has no idea what that means, what that is, and what's happening. She knows that she was made for a purpose, okay? And that she becomes this powerful warrior woman, right? And goes through all this training. So that one day, she could defeat Ares, the god of war, okay? So she's on a mission to figure out how she can fulfill that. Her mother doesn't want her to follow that path, but she does anyway. And this is a part of the story you're going to see where she's been working with a friend of hers named Steve, who is Chris Pine from the movie, right? He has been a spy in the ranks of one of the armies, and he's trying to get her help to stop the war, all right? And here's a little encounter that they have as she realizes something about mankind. You guys, I love that scene because Wonder Woman cannot grasp that her killing Ares didn't stop the war, that what was really happening was that the hearts of mankind were corrupt. She could not handle the idea that in each person was this, she's not saying it, and they're not saying it in the movie, but it's a sin nature. And I think it's amazing because she was protected in this special island world and has her first encounter with the darkness of mankind's heart in this war. You guys, this is what's happened to us, right? That Adam and Eve's curse has become ours as well. And so here's what happens. Every child of Eve inherits the sin nature from her and Adam. And so in the end, I know the world doesn't teach you this, but in the end, mankind, humankind, is not good at the core. At the core, we're bad. We choose to disobey. We choose wrong. And if you don't believe me, go hang out with some 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds. Because they just think about themselves. And they can be mean and nasty. And they don't share. And they take from each other. And they are selfish and rude. And you guys get the idea, right? Even at the core of a young child, we are selfish in nature. But the world doesn't teach you that. They think that man is mostly good, but that is not true. And I love that clip from the movie because that's really what's happening, is that in the heart of every person, they have to choose whether they're going to be good or evil. And if they don't choose, they will inherently be evil, separated from God, sinful. So we inherit also a cursed earth. You know what? It's not your fault. You weren't Adam. You weren't Eve. They made the choice, but I believe they were representatives of the entire human race. And so in their place, we probably would have chosen the same. So we inherit an earth that's messed up. An earth that is groaning and aching and falling apart. How many of you had contact or knew about the hurricanes that have happened this year? Okay. How many people have died in natural disasters in the last year? A lot, right? You got terrorism, right? And you got things like the World Trade Center, and you got people bringing guns to school and shooting people, and people in Las Vegas, wiping out a whole mess of people. You've got a world that is cursed and messed up, and people that are choosing evil and acting evil toward one another. And we're left with dealing with the crap of it all, right? You get friends who are hurting and struggling. You get friends who don't get it. You get families that are messed up. You got relationships that are broken. You've got a world that isn't working like it's supposed to work. And we're in it. Here's the thing. God knows, and he has a plan to make it right. One day, he's going to remake the earth. I don't know if you knew that, but in Revelation, he says he will. And one day, we're going to get to be with God if we put our faith in him. And we're going to get to be with him like we were meant to be. And he's going to make it all new. But until then, we're left here in this crazy battle. And so we're born, basically, all of us, cut off from God. And unless you choose God, then you're not on his side. So here's what happens in our hearts, right? Adam and Eve were good. They were made good. And at the core of their heart was God. And they had a perfect relationship with God in the beginning. And very quickly, they disobey. And death, the spiritual death, enters. And then sin is now in their hearts. And for all time, it is passed on to you and me and to all people. So we are all, in essence, have a bad heart, a sinful nature now. We have a broken relationship with God. So why does Jesus need to come? Why do we need Christmas to happen? Because we need that relationship that's broke to be restored, to be fixed, right? I know that's a bunch of bad news, but here's what I don't want you guys to lose sight of. That's all the curse. We just talked about all the curse on them and the curse on us, the curse we feel. Now, the promise is this, back in Genesis 15, here's the quick fill-in. I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Another version puts it this way, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman. And another verse, another translation says, I'm declaring war between you and the woman. So we live in this funky, crazy spiritual battle that we feel but maybe can't see, right? I thought it was pretty funny. Somebody put this on the internet, little UFC primetime fight between Jesus and the devil. The heel bruiser versus the head crusher, right? I thought that was just kind of comical. But I don't want you guys to lose sight of this. From the start, God had a plan. And that plan includes you and me being restored back to him. There's the curse, which is not fun. We live in that. There's a promise, and then he had a plan. We're born into sin and into a spiritual war that's already going on. We're by default, you don't even have to do anything. By default, we're on the wrong side. So why do we have youth group? Why do we do outreach events? Why are we doing the Star Wars event to reach students? Why do we do the bonfire? Why do we do mission trips? Why does our youth group try to reach out and tell people about God and about Jesus? Because of this. By default, the whole world is on the wrong side. And if they choose not to follow God, then by default, they will be separated from him and their soul will be too in eternity. That's heavy. But it also gives us some purpose to say, you know what? Wow. That gives me a reason to share my faith. That gives me a reason to go reach out to your friends who don't have a clue that they're in a battle and that they're already born on the wrong side and that they need God. So I'm going to pray. If you don't know God, if you haven't put your trust and faith in God, you could do that tonight. If you're like, you know what, God, would you help me reach out to friends who don't know you? That would be a good prayer as well. You guys, I get a little fired up about this topic just because I'm passionate about God and faith, and I want people to know that there is a way to be forgiven and free. So pray with me. God, I'm not great at this stuff. Sometimes I lose sight of the battle, and I forget that I'm in it, and I make selfish choices, and I live wrongly. God, forgive me. Forgive these students too. God, would you help us to follow you? Anybody here in the room tonight who just wants to even recommit to God and say, God, I need you. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry that I've disobeyed you. I'm sorry that I've done wrong things. Please forgive my sin, all of it, past, present, future sin. And would you make me clean? God, I want to live for you. Would you help me live for you? And God, not just me. Would you help me share my faith with those around me? Would you help me to reach out and let people know that there's a God who loves them and that they are on the wrong side and they need to choose to live for him too? God, you made a way. From the very beginning, you had a plan. And your plan is going on even now. So God, would you help us to put our faith in you, to follow you, and to look forward to the day when you crush the enemy and that we can be with you forever. God, we pray that you would help us grow in your name. Amen.